This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The Hollywood agent who helped create Tab Hunter and Rock Hudson, the agent who protected Rock Hudson's secret gay life and exposed Tab Hunter's, is the subject of a new book by my guest Robert Hoffler. It's called The Man Who Invented Rock Hudson, The Pretty Boys and Dirty Deals of Henry Wilson. Hoffler describes Wilson as a beefy, tough-talking, chronically phobic, arch-conservative homosexual. Most of his clients, who were nicknamed Henry's boys, were straight actors. His roster included Rory Calhoun, John Derek, Chet Everett, Nick Adams, Robert Wagner, and Troy Donahue. My guest Robert Hoffler has covered show business for decades and currently works for Variety. Is there a certain type of actor that Wilson handled and helped create?
Well, I really wouldn't even call them actors. They were personalities. And he did that for a very specific reason. He wanted to be the star maker. He was not interested in people like Montgomery Clift, Marlon Brando, or James Dean. These were people who had Broadway experience, who came to Hollywood with a certain cachet and a great deal of power, actually. What he wanted was to pick up people off the street. And he did. I mean, you know, he found Guy Madison in an audience and, you know, put him under contract to David O. Selznick. He found Roy Calhoun at some party. You know, Rock Hudson brought in some photographs to his office. I mean, Henry Wilson was the agent in Hollywood of first resort. And most of these people had no acting experience whatsoever. What they did have is that they were extraordinarily good looking. And for the most part, they were personalities. And it's interesting because, you know, my book focuses on all the men he handled, but certainly I go into the first big star he created, who was Lon Turner. And when he couldn't get Lana Turner under contract to 20th Century Fox, and I think it was like 1936, he asked them, well, why aren't you signing her? And the studio executive said, well, she can't act. And Henry Wilson said, I didn't say she could act. I said she could be a movie star. and that really sums up Henry Wilson.
What kind of look did he like and help create?
It was very clean cut, very clean cut. And here's what's interesting, because he was homosexual and people think, oh, he must have been, you know, a leftist or a liberal. He was very conservative. You know, he was in the vein of, you know, J. Edgar Hoover or Roy Cohn or Whitaker Chambers. I mean, he was, you know, this real right-wing Republican, and he wanted his stars to be clean cut. And he really took the soldiers and sailors coming out of World War II and fashioned them into stars. And this was a much more macho look than America had been used to, which really was kind of more, you know, Cary Grant and much more urbane and sophisticated. And Henry Wilson, you know, was really helped in this, that there were lots of documentaries about the war, and the guys were often shown, you know, shirtless or whatever. And this was a whole new kind of photography. It was much more real. But these guys all had that, you know, clean cut, crew cut. And that's the way that he dressed them. And basically that was, you know, the major look of the 1950s. Now, obviously, it went out of fashion in the 1960s, and that's ultimately what did him in.
Now, you describe how he groomed some of his gay actors mm-hmm. to look more straight. What did he
yes.
do?
Well, first off, most of his clients were straight. So there's always this kind of myth. The big myth about Henry Wilson was that he had this all gay client list. And the fact of the matter is that Henry Wilson preferred straight men, not only as clients, but as bed partners. Why he got the all, you know, gay client list is because he handled Rock Hudson and, to a lesser extent, Tab Hunter. And, of course, his big creation, his big Galatea, was Rock Hudson. But he would look for any kind of, you know, little mannerisms that was considered effeminate. There was one client of his I talked to who Henry didn't like his laugh, so they kind of worked on a different way that he could laugh at a producer's jokes. You know, he would work on a guy's walk to make sure, you know, it's right out of Tea and Sympathy. And, you know, he would might give them dance classes. Or, you know, he would do things like he was a really, even though he was an agent and a manager, he was a brilliant publicist, and he knew how to photograph these guys. And quite often he would photograph them, you know, with guns and bow and arrows and anything macho. And of course, what he really did is that, you know, he put them on a number of studio arranged dates.
You describe how we tried to help Rock Hudson make his voice huskier.
Yes. That was with a vocal coach, Lester Luther, that Henry sent Rock to. And they waited for Rock to get a sore throat, and then they had him screaming for hours. And somehow that took the vocal cords and lowered them a few tones when they had healed. But, of course, it ruined Rock's singing voice, as it would anyone's singing voice. I've never heard of that technique used today. But that is a very a famous story. And Henry became very friendly with the acting teachers and the vocal coaches around Hollywood. So he knew when they had young talent, and quite often, you know, they would say, oh, you should, you know, meet Henry Wilson.
You say that Wilson had some gay clients, but most of the actors he represented were straight, and he actually preferred straight men as clients and as bedmates. Was that part of the price for getting him to represent you? Did you have to sleep with him?
Well, it varied. Justified or not, he had the reputation of having the biggest, longest running, you know, gay casting couch in Hollywood. And he was certainly savvy. I mean, there were a number of clients who came to him who came from money, who came from position. They couldn't act. But those people he might leave alone. But a number of the people he did, I mean, this was an interesting thing that I came across, is that how many of these men he handled were fatherless. I mean, their father was out of the picture. I mean, that's true of Troy Donahue. It's true of Tab Hunter. It's true of Rock Hudson. It was true of Roy Calhoun. I mean, the list really goes on. And, of course, a number of people that the names wouldn't mean anything to you. But there were other people, let's say like John Gavin or Robert Wagner, who came from money and their fathers were still living. And, you know, those. So Henry was savvy on whom he hit on and whom he did not hit on.
How did Henry Wilson meet Rock Hudson?
There's a few stories about that. And so quite often in the book, and this is very typical when you start getting into a biography of a gay person, so much of it is oral history because it was not written down. And there's one story that Rock and Henry told is that Rock had sent some photographs to Henry Wilson, who was head of talent for David O. Selznick in 1948. And that's how they met. And Henry always had an open-door policy. I cannot tell you the number of people, even when Henry was a major agent in the 50s and 60s, that the number of people who came to Henry Wilson directly off the street. And, of course, one of the reasons Henry liked this is that he was the star maker. And also it was a great way to procure men, that the man would come off the street and he'd say, hey, I can make you a star, you know, why don't I give you a tour of my house in Bel Air, you know, that kind of thing. And he would go to Ciro's and Macombo and before that the Trocadero, and there would be all these soldiers. Remember, it was World War II or after, and it was the Port of Los Angeles, and these sailors and soldiers would be at the bar, and he would walk around with his card and go, hey, I can make you a movie star, you know, would you like a tour of my house? And so, you know, this is what he did. But he was also, as an agent, brilliant at what he did. And the crazy names he gave people at that particular time was a brilliant publicity ploy. It got people publicity before they'd even made a movie. Also, he was very well connected in Hollywood. This is what I was talking about with the acting coaches and the vocal teachers. He also plied secretaries and mailroom boys with lots of gifts. He never forgot their birthday because they fed him the screenplays. And sometimes Henry Wilson would get a hold of a screenplay before the producer or the head of the studio had even seen it. And he would go, oh, I've got this guy who's perfect for that role.
How did he give Rock Hudson his name?
The story is that he took it after the Rock of Gibraltar, and he took the river, the Hudson River, that he wanted two strong names. And so that is the story that he told. There were some people I found who said, no, Rock Hudson came to Henry Wilson with that name, that Rock Hudson had actually been named that. His real name was Roy Fitzgerald. by a real estate agent named Ken Hodges, who used to be a producer and now wanted to be an agent, and he thought he had found his meal ticket back to Hollywood with this Roy Fitzgerald, and he was actually the one who named him Rock Hudson. I kind of, you know, doubt that story.
Wilson was gay. Wilson knew that Rock Hudson was the gay. What advice did Wilson give Hudson about being seen in public with other men?
Well, it's what he would have told anyone that he represented, and that was that you could never be seen in public with one other man. It was okay to be seen with two other men, because that meant all the guys' night out. But two or four meant a date. Now, what happened to Wilson later in his career, like in the 60s, when kind of drugs and alcohol, and he actually became a little lazy as an agent, he started taking over, you know, a room at the Cock and Bull or Pants' Lazy Susan or Scandia, a number of these restaurants, and he would have three or four tables of young, attractive men. And to Henry Wilson's way of thinking, this did not read as like, you know, the back room of a gay bar. It read like kind of the boys' night out, kicking back a few after the football game. What was interesting is that Henry became notorious in Hollywood, but Henry didn't know that. But it was an open secret that he was gay, and particularly when he arranged for the marriage of his secretary, Phyllis Gates, to Rock Hudson, you know, people started laughing about it. I mean, I talked to Tony Curtis, I talked to Debbie Reynolds, and they just said, you know, that was the point at which everyone in Hollywood just openly started talking about the fact that Rock Hudson was gay. But Henry was a little delusional. And I talked to Dennis Hopper, and he was just saying, well, Henry was obvious. He just openly came on to you, and he didn't care who else was in the room. And yet Henry didn't see it that way. I mean, people talked about Henry being with Roy Calhoun on the set of movies in like the early 50s, and they just said it was obvious that, you know, Henry Wilson was in love with Roy Calhoun. There was a head of talent at MGM who first met Roy Fitzgerald before he was named Rock Hudson, which is why I doubt that story about Ken Hodges, who said that, you know, Henry was holding, you know, Roy Fitzgerald's hand during the job interview at like MGM because Roy Fitzgerald, Rock Hudson, was so nervous. It was obvious, she says, that these men were lovers.
So Henry Wilson, Rock Hudson's agent, basically found a wife, you say, for Rock Hudson, and that wife was Henry Wilson's secretary, Phyllis Gates. What did you find out about why Henry Wilson thought the time was right for this marriage, and why did he set up Rock Hudson with his secretary?
Well, you know, that was a major mistake for lots of reasons. And, you know, a big one is that he didn't look far enough. I mean, you know, if you want to set someone up with Rock Hudson, you know, you don't set him up with your secretary. You know, everyone in Hollywood knew what was going on. But the fact of the matter is that the general public never kind of caught on to what was going on. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay. And Terry Moore, who was a starlet at the time, she says, you know, it didn't matter in Hollywood what, you know, Hollywood, you know, insiders knew. It was what the general public knew. The other thing about the Rock Hudson that protected him in Hollywood, I've been covering, you know, the celebrity game here for, you know, about 30 years. And I have to say, rarely have I heard anyone say that Rock Hudson, those people who knew him, that he just wasn't the nicest guy in the world, that Hollywood adored him. And he was a real Hollywood creation, as opposed to the other big stars at that time who were like, you know, Montgomery Clift, James Dean, or Marlon Brando, who came from Broadway. He was essentially, you know, a hometown boy.
When Henry Wilson, Rock Hudson's agent, suggested that it was time Hudson get married, was Wilson worried that the story was about to break, that Hudson was gay?
He had at least two ex-lovers of Rock Hudson had been approached by Confidential for $10,000 each to tell their story.
And Confidential was like a Hollywood tabloid magazine.
Oh, yeah. The biggest. But you have to also remember, that was 1954. late in 1954, and Rock had just been cast in Giant, George Stevens' big movie. And that was the plum role. Henry already knew that there were two guys who had been approached who refused to cooperate because they still liked Rock. But something had to be done. And I don't know if Confidential, which, you know, was paid off by the studios, but this I do know, that Universal also had Roy Calhoun under contract at that time. And in the May issue of Confidential, there was a trade-off that Rock Hudson would be spared and Roy Calhoun, who had a prison record and was in the federal penitentiary for a number of years, would be exposed in Confidential. And that was a trade-off. Actually, that kind of prison record actually helped Roy Calhoun's career. He did lots of, you know, sob story interviews and whatever. And that was in the May issue. That summer, Tab Hunter fired Henry Wilson. This was written about in The Hollywood Reporter. A couple of very scathing items were written by a gossip columnist for The Hollywood Reporter named Mike Conley, who was a good friend of Henry Wilson's. He wrote two scathing items about Tab Hunter firing Henry Wilson. And in the September issue of Confidential, Tab Hunter's story about being at this pajama party in Glendale was written about in Confidential. Now, that was an old arrest. That was a five-year-old arrest that had remained buried. One of the few people who knew about it was Henry Wilson. And his friend was Mike Conley, who was an informant for Confidential. Mike Conley, his byline appeared in The Hollywood Reporter, but Mike Conley was also gay and was being blackmailed by Confidential. And in exchange that they would not expose him as a homosexual, Mike Conley gave them gossip that he could not publish in The Hollywood Reporter. Then, in October, that was the September issue of Confidential, in October, Rock Hudson got the cover of Life magazine. Now, this is staid old Life magazine. They put him on the cover. They called him the most handsome bachelor in Hollywood. But on the inside, they really very blatantly asked, why isn't he married? He's going to be 30 years old soon. He'd better explain to his fans why he's not married. I mean, that's about as uncoded as you can get. I mean, that's just practically outing a person. And the next month, Rock Hudson was married.
You know, the picture you're painting is of, you know, like blackmail and trading one person's secrets to prevent somebody from outing you or outing your client. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it was really dirty.
Well, you get into the whole House on American Activities, and I don't think I'm going too far afield talking about this. But you have to remember that in the 50s, there were more homosexuals who were let go from the State Department than there were suspected communists. That to be a subversive, you know, it just wasn't political. You know, to be considered a subversive, you know, you were, you know, if you were suspected of being a homosexual, you know, that was enough to fire someone. As I said earlier in this interview, homosexuality could only be mentioned as an accusation at that particular time. And that's one thing that we keep forgetting about when we look at this behavior. But you also see, well, here was J. Edgar Hoover, who was gay, and you had Whitaker Chambers, and you had Roy Cohn. And, you know, it could be that they were just politically conservative men, and they just, this is the way they were, and if they were straight or gay. But I think that their homosexuality probably played into it in that, you know, they were like, hey, I'm not gay. I'm, you know, I'm a true American. You know, I'm not a cultural subversive. I'm not a political subversive. So they did this as a kind of cover.
So if you were outed in the 50s, it not only would have meant that people would question whether you could be a leading man in a movie, but your patriotism would be questioned, too. You're standing as an American.
I think it, at that particular time, you have to realize that it was Senator McCarthy who had a very famous line, which was that if you're against me, you have to be either a communist or, and he had a slur for homosexual.
You quote some of the FBI files on Rock Hudson. Did you get those files through the Freedom of Information Act?
Yes, yes.
What are some of the things you found in there?
Well,
first of all, why did the FBI have a file on him in the first place?
There were two reasons, and it goes back to, you know, what we just talked about, and that was that he was considered subversive because he was a homosexual. You know, that they were, you know, out to I don't say exposed, but they wanted to know what homosexuals were up to. I mean, they were degenerates. I mean, this was the American culture. It was being sullied. And, you know, I suppose it, in a similar way, it's like how many people during that period who were suspected of being communist were Jews. You know, it's that kind of thinking, oh, well, the Jews are more likely to be communist, the homosexuals are more likely to be communist. I don't know. But that was the major reason they kept it. The other thing is also, and this was a little bit later in Rock's career, because I believe the file was kept for over 10 years, is that he was up for some roles to play an FBI agent. And so all of those scripts had to be vetted. But if you really look through the files, you know, most of it had to do with, like, you know, Rock Hudson attended this orgy. Now, unfortunately, I have to say, they had a whole list of other names that were blocked out because I was asking about Rock Hudson. So all these other names, which looked like it could be a couple of dozen names, were blacked out. And the one interesting thing in there is that I would say the file started in 1959, which was the year that Henry Wilson and his assistant were interviewed by the FBI. And the FBI came in and said, is Rock Hudson homosexual, or are you two guys homosexual? And they asked for some names. And that's when the file started. I think they closed it in the early 70s. But in the early 60s, there was a very interesting item in it saying that Rock Hudson had a close associate who could be trusted to be an informant. And it was around that time that Henry Wilson's assistants told me that Henry Wilson started, when people would threaten blackmail or they would say something he didn't like, he would say, they'd better not, I'll get J. Edgar Hoover on them. And this was something that, you know, he used a lot. Whether he was the informant or not, I don't know. There was also a very funny line, well, it's funny and it's sad, is that when Rock Hudson was interviewed in the file, it said that two mature FBI agents would be sent to interview Rock Hudson.
Why is that funny?
Because they had to be mature, and they had to send two. They couldn't send one FBI agent because, you know, Rock Hudson might seduce them because he's this degenerate homosexual.
Got it.
So they had to send two mature, and they made a big deal out of this.
You've been covering movie celebrities for decades. Do you think the American movie-going public is ready to accept leading men or leading ladies who are gay or lesbian?
You know, I hate to say that I don't think they're ready because that seems to perpetuate it. And yet, you know, that's what I would have to say. And I think someday it will happen, and it will be someone not like a Rock Hudson, but someone like a Montgomery Clift or a James Dean who comes out of the theater. They're put in an indie movie, or they come out of the British theater and they make a British movie and they play a romantic leading man, and all of a sudden this little movie takes off at the box office. They win an Oscar. And this guy goes like, you know, I just don't really care that much about a movie career. And then we will see what happens. And this is a person who can go back and forth between movies and the theater. And there's so many independent movies now that, you know, it's conceivable that you don't have to have this huge box office. But here's my theory. And for the last 6 years, I was the theater reporter for Variety. There's a big difference between the theater and film. And Henry Wilson worked for Variety, wrote for Variety in the late 20s. About the theater, and then when he moved to Hollywood, he had this, you know, mantra, which was, I didn't say she could act, she could be a movie star, you know, that kind of stuff, is that the movies are about sexual fantasies. The theater is not. The theater is about talent. The theater is about being able to hold the stage for 2 hours. That isn't really what the movies are about. And the movies are constantly asking you to turn on to either violence or sex. I mean, Pauline Kael said it all. It is all kiss, kiss, bang, bang. And that is what the movies sell primarily, is having it, being sexually attractive, being a sexual fantasy. And the fact of the matter is that in our culture, you know, most people, you know, fantasize about, you know, the opposite sex.
Robert Hoffler, thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Robert Hoffler is the author of the new book, The Man Who Invented Rock Hudson. He works for Variety.